Open your Bibles to Genesis chapter number 6. Y'all see me swatting up here? I got a fly up here with me. Me and him going to have it out, I guess. Genesis chapter number 6, beginning in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair. And they took them wives of all which they chose." I've heard a lot of folks try to pin this verse down. And I've heard some folks say that some of them were demons, and heard some say that they were angels. But my idea right here, if you back up a couple of chapters, you'll find two lines of people. The ungodly line of Cain and the godly line of Seth. And I think that's exactly who these two classes of people are right here. The sons of God, I believe, was of the godly line of Seth. And the daughters of men, I believe, were of the ungodly line of Cain. And let me tell you, young men, it makes a big difference who you marry. Amen. Now, they were looking at these daughters here because they were fair. They were looking at the outward appearance. Now, you can find harlots that look good, but I wouldn't want to take one home to mama. And you'll find out it brought a great problem upon these people of this day. It says right here, "And the Lord said, My spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown." You can be seated right there. He goes on speaking about the wickedness that came from this mixture of people right here. But I'm interested in verse number 4 right here. He says, "There were giants in the earth in those days." And that's where I want to preach from tonight, that Noah's giants are back in our day. Noah's giants are here in our day that we live. You know, the giants that you look at in the Word of God, they were all time giving God's people trouble. You remember when Noah sent spies out to the Promised Land, they came back and said, "Well, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. But they are sons of Anak over there, which were giants." They were scared of them. Remember David when he went out and faced Goliath. All of Israel was scared of the giant there. And we ought to be scared of the giants today. The giants that were there in Noah's day, they're here in our day. And I want you to remember what Christ said in Matthew. He said that, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." Christ cautioned us about the days of Noah, that we ought to be on the lookout for the days of Noah. The things that went on in Noah's day are going to be coming to pass in the days when the Lord comes back. And I can see it so plainly in our day. The days of Noah are upon us. The days of Lot are upon us. And we can look in the Word of God and look about the world about us and see the Word of God fulfilled before us. But I want us to think about this tonight. The giants that were in Noah's day, the giant of wickedness. Wickedness. He said in verse number 5, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually." How wicked. The thoughts of man's mind and in his heart, only evil continually. Well, it's a lot like the world is today, ain't it? I never thought I'd see the day when you carry your kids to town and you have to just keep your eye on them every second, fearing some predator will come take them. Never thought I'd see the day when grown men got pleasure in little girls. Filth, wickedness in grown men after little boys. It's pitiful. It's a wicked day. And when I look at the world today and see the things that's going on in my world, I know why now it repented God that He'd made man upon the earth. When He saw all the wickedness and why God decided to destroy it all, I see why. I see why. I don't see any solutions for this world. We'll listen to the presidential candidates talk and they're going to make everything just right. Boy, just vote for me and I'm going to fix it. Everything's going to be great. All the promises. And what amazes me even more is that people believe all that. Put all their faith and all their confidence in man. They never have just one election after another, promise after promise, and they don't do a thing. And yet man won't look up to God where our only help and hope comes from. Keeps looking to man for help. But man is living in the days of Noah, giants of wickedness. He said in verse number 5, the wickedness of man was great, great in the earth. These are the days of Noah that we're living in today. Giants of wickedness in the heart. He said the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. You know, wickedness is like a cancer that gets on this world, on land, on a country. It progresses. You know, it's amazing to me how much this world has changed in my lifetime. When I was a kid, my mom and daddy didn't lock the doors at home. I go to town as just a little old boy. Mom and daddy didn't have to worry about nothing. Well, I'd get out and ride my bicycle to Blackjack Mountain. I'd get out and thumb a ride even, a little boy. I wanted to go see my cousin down at Blackjack Mountain. I didn't tell my mom and daddy. When they went to work, I'd hit the road. I'd get stick a thumb out, and man, it wouldn't be just me. I'd have me a ride down to Blackjack Mountain. 4 or 5 o'clock come around, I'd be back out on the road. Thumb me a ride back to Biden. There wasn't nothing to worry about back then. But now, it just don't work anymore. Wickedness. It's gotten into the heart of man today. And it's also gotten into the home. Number 2, the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took them wives, all of which they chose. You see, there was wickedness in the home. Had a marriage there that wasn't right in the eyes of God. The home, place that ought to be a little heaven for children to grow up in. It's become a place of wickedness in the day that we live. Men raise their kids up around dirty books. Beer. Son, go out and get me a beer. Sheila was teaching a little Sunday school class one time back down at Sardis, and little old kids about, I don't know, maybe 4 or 5 years old, they'll tell on you. They'll tell on you. One of them just all out of the blue one day said, "My mom and dad drinks beer." It's a sad thing. And I can tell you something about that mom and daddy today. They both dead. They were a lot younger than me. They dead now. I say a lot younger. They wasn't that much younger, I don't guess. But riotous living, rough living, led them to an early grave. in the heart, wickedness of the heart and wickedness of the home. A lot of marriages is made because of lust, not love. And that's why there's a lot of leaving in the home. Man and a woman comes together in lust and bears children. And then when somebody else comes along, they go lusting after them and they leave. Leave some little old kids behind without a mama or without a daddy. Broken homes. Broken hearts. That's the wickedness of the day that we're living in. 6 out of 10 marriages, I heard, ends up in divorce. That's a shame. I remember when I was a kid, divorce, you just rarely ever heard of divorce. Rarely ever heard of it. Just wasn't much of it around. Oh, it's common now. Very common. Very sad. Wickedness of the heart and of the home. And wickedness in the hunger. He says the thoughts were only evil continually. Hunger. Hunger for evil. Lust for evil things. Evil. Society, no doubt, was fast-paced. Pleasure-driven, perverted, pornographic, and perishing. Lusting after wine and after women and after wealth. Awful society of that day. Wickedness. Just lusting for wickedness. There's people that's living for wickedness, working for wickedness. Because that's all their mind. That's all they know. Their pleasure comes from wickedness. Sad to say, ain't it? Sad to say. Boy, you don't have to look very far at the young people that's in the colleges and all. Had TV on one night and I was flipping through. It showed some of these spring breakers. People, I mean, these are not really kids anymore. 20 years old or so, living like dogs. I'm talking about white kids that should have been raised different from the way they're acting. But it shows the depravity, the downcline of morality in our society today. It's a sad, sad thing. People have failed. A lot of folks have failed in raising their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They've totally failed. And it's coming back to haunt America right now. Noah's giants are back in our day. Giants of wickedness. Noah saw it in his day. And we can see it in our day today. This one giant is here. Wickedness. You better watch out for wickedness. Because we live in a house of flesh. In a fleshly body that lusts after sinful things. That's why we have to crucify the flesh. Watch out. Watch out for the giants of wickedness. And not only the giants of wickedness, but the giants of worship. Giants of worship. Let me show you this right here in verse number 4. There were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that when the sons of God came in to the daughters of men, they bare children to them, and the same became mighty men which were of old, men of renown. The worship of mighty men. Oh, we have that in our society today. The worship of athletes. Oh, my, athletes. Everybody knows who Tiger Woods is. Everybody knows who Michael Jordan is. You know, everybody, if you don't watch out, you'll be worshiping a man. Somebody that's elevated, a man of renown. Somebody that's been elevated and given praise and given glory. Dale Earnhardt. There's a lot of folks still worshiping him, and him dead. Dead. Worshiping a dead man that can't do nothing for him and never did nothing for him when he was alive. But there was mighty men of renown in Noah's day. And they were looked up to, no doubt. They were giants. Giants in the eyes of man. You better watch out. And then there were giants of intellect in those days. If you look back at the ungodly line of Cain, you'll find that they were intellectual people. They were inventors, workers in brass and iron and all these types of things. Oh, people will look up to somebody that's real smart, real educated. Put them high up on the ladder of education, and man kind of they'll give them a little extra space. They give them a lot of extra respect. Look up to them. You better watch out. You find yourself worshiping man. Oh, there's a lot of folks that would just love to see their child grow up and hit a golf ball like Tiger Woods. Shoot a basketball like Michael Jordan. Looking at man. More interested in seeing your child grow up to be like somebody like that than like Christ. Man will let you down. Man will let you down. Giants of worship. The mighty men. And then the money men. Folks really bow down to folks that's made it big. You ever notice that? Oh, Bill Gates. I bet you if Bill Gates were to walk in here tonight. Of course, somebody might not even know him if you've seen him. I've seen him on TV. He's worth billions of dollars. Why? He could walk in the... He could probably walk in up Tabernacle in Carrollton. Well, they'd roll out the carpet for him. They'd put him on the front row. They'd give him honorary membership, anything he wanted. A lot of churches would do that. Somebody's got money. Worship of money men. Bill Gates, Warren Buffett. Oh, he's worth billions. I saw a man on TV the other day that made $4 billion last year. $4 billion. Man, they was just all over this man. He's the greatest thing that ever happened. Probably the biggest crook that ever lived. Worshiping. Worshiping mighty men. Money men. You know, people like to worship. They really do. But the sad thing about it is a lot of folks is worshiping man and not God. Better watch out. Man will let you. And then there's the giants of worship, not only of mighty men and money men, but mad men. The book of Jude speaks about the way of Cain. The way of Cain. Religion of works. Mad men. Oh, I've seen some mad men that came in the name of Christ in my lifetime. How about old David Koresh? Out in Texas, claimed he was Jesus. Old Sun Yon Moon, the head of the Moonies. I think he claimed he was Jesus too. There's been others. How about Jim Jones? Got 900 or so people to commit suicide in the name of Christ or in the name of religion. Madmen, giants of worship. See, people are looking to follow somebody. We're followers. You know what? We're natural-born followers. We're looking for a leader. We're looking for somebody to follow, to lead us. I'm glad, for that reason, I'm glad we got a good pastor. I think he's right in this book right here. And you better be right in this book right here. You better know if the man that's standing before you is lined up with this book. You need to know that, where to follow him or not. And so you better stay in the book because there's madmen in this world. And they'll come to you in sheep's clothes. And they'll lead you astray. Not only the giants of wickedness and the giants of worship, but there's a giant of wonder that's mentioned in this sixth chapter right here. And this giant of wonder, first of all, is God's grief. Verse number 7 says this, "And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them." What a sad thing. God's creation. For God to say, it repents me. I regret that I made man. I'm going to destroy him and everything upon the face of the earth. God regretted that he had made man. I find no place where God ever regretted that he redeemed man. But look what a giant of grief we have right here. But then there's a giant wonder of grace. Verse 8 says, "But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord." You can still find grace in the eyes of the Lord today, in a wicked day that we live. There's still grace to be had today. As God looks down upon this world today, the wickedness is here. He still has a hand of mercy outstretched to this world today, saying, "Whosoever would could come and take of the water of life freely, receive forgiveness and grace." It's amazing, ain't it? It's amazing to me that I found grace in the eyes of the Lord. When I look at what I was when He came to me, the wicked man that I was, and yet He reached out His hand to me and He saved me by His grace. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The Bible says that Noah walked with the Lord. And let me say something right there. Noah was the great-grandson of Enoch. Enoch walked with the Lord. It makes a difference how you're walking your walk. Your life can have an influence not only in this time, but if time permits, 50 years from now, your name and your walk can still be influenced in your family. Or let me say this too, your wickedness can still be influenced in your family. I know families today that the demons of alcohol goes from generation to generation down the line. I know families today that the demons of lust and adultery has gone down from generation to generation down the line. It makes a difference how you live your life and how you walk your walk for Christ. It's going to have an effect on your family down the line. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Thank God for grace in the Lord's eyes. Not only God's grief and God's grace, but God's gift. Look what he says right here. Noah had found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In verse 13, "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I'll destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shalt pitch it within and without with pitch. This is the fashion which thou shalt make it. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, the height of it 30 cubits. A window shalt thou make to the ark, and in a cubit thou shalt thou finish it above, and the door of the ark shalt thou set in the side thereof, with lower, second, third story shalt thou make it. And behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die." The gift that he gave to Noah was a way of escape. An ark. An ark of safety. Can I tell you tonight that God has given us an ark of safety? And that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. no other name given among men under heaven whereby we can be saved but the Lord Jesus Christ. God sent His Son into the world. And Christ went to the cross and died there. He is our ark. To be in Christ is to be in the ark. To be shut in. To be safe. To be sealed up. Because just like God said there, He's going to destroy all flesh. There's a flood coming one day upon this world. A flood of judgment for the wickedness of man and the wickedness of this world. And you look at the days of Noah and look at the days that we live in. God got sick of it in that day. He got sick of it. He got sick of looking at the wickedness of man. The thoughts and intents of his heart. His deeds were only evil continually. God got fed up with it. He got fed up with it. But He made a way of escape. This is the day of grace. The dispensation of God's grace. This is the period in time that God has given man to get ready. We've got a bigger advantage than the people of Noah's day. God sent His only begotten Son to us. Walked upon this earth. The miracles that He performed. The Word that He gave us. The people in that day, they had the preaching of Noah. Noah, no telling how many, he was a preacher of righteousness. No telling how many times Noah stood and preached. There's a flood coming. A flood? Well, what's a flood? Never rain. What's rain? An ark? A big boat out here on dry ground? You're crazy. Oh, you can tell people today that Jesus is coming. He's coming. He's coming. A lot of folks say, well, our things are just... Peter says it over there, that in the generation that we live in, they'll be scoffers. Mockers, saying, where's the promise of His coming? He ain't coming. Oh, man don't even like to retain God in the knowledge now. We don't want to hear about God. Take His name off the courthouse walls. We don't want to pray in school anymore. Get rid of all that. We don't believe in that old religious stuff. Same way they did Noah in his day. Wonder how many times they come by and looked at that big old ark. Laughed and mocked. Maybe they even throwed a few rocks up there at old Noah, mocking him. Crazy man. Crazy man down there building a big boat. Y'all hear about that? We ought to go over there and look at it, see what he's doing today. And then one day, he got that thing finished up. And God said, come on in, Noah. Then one day, the door shut. Then one day, the clouds begin to gather. The thunder began to roll. I can see some of them people that mocked Him begin to have just a little hint of fear in their heart. Reckon what they thought when they stuck their hands out and felt water falling from the skies. Reckon what they thought when they seen the streams begin to just rapidly raise. And the God of heaven that set the bounds for the oceans. The waves would roll in and stop. But now they rolled in and kept coming. Kept coming. And getting higher and higher. Reality set in. But it was too late. Too late. I bet you a lot of them, when the water got about this deep, I bet you they thought, well, He was right. We got to get to the ark. He was telling us the truth. Let's get over there. There was a huge door in the side of that thing. Let's go. Let's go. I can see them as they got there. Looked down the side of that great ship and the door was gone. The door was gone. The water was rising. Oh, what a day that was. As it was in the days of Noah. so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. He's going to take this world by surprise one of these days. I tell you what he's going to do. He's going to take the church by surprise. Jesus told us to be a watching. If we were the Christian that we should be watching for His appearing. We should be longing for His appearing. We ought to be looking and loving His appearing. We ought to pray every day, Lord, come. Lord, come today. That's how close we ought to be to God. And that's how the realities of this world is. It ain't going to get any better. So our mindset ought to be, Lord, get us out. Get us out. It'd help us to get that close to God, to let that set in upon us. The giant wonder of God's grief, God's grace, and God's gift. Thank God for the unspeakable gift, for the ark that He's made for us. Not only giants of wickedness, giants of worship, giants of wonder, but the giant of wrath. And I've already probably covered it pretty well. It's going to be soon. You see, Noah, he was preparing the ark for 120 years. But look what the book of Hebrews says about Noah. It says, by faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, preparing an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness, which is by faith. When God told Noah, I'm going to destroy this world, I want you to go prepare you an ark, he got with it. He didn't waste a minute. Noah didn't know how soon God was going to send the flood. But he did know and he had faith in believing the things that he couldn't see or hadn't seen. He was warned of God. Boy, God has given this world a warning. One day, He's coming just like He said. In Noah's day, there was one man for the known world of that day that was preaching righteousness. One man sending out the message. Today we've got preachers all over this country sending out missionaries all over this world telling people, prepare to meet thy God. He's coming again. He's coming again. And yet the wickedness of man is increasing more and more. The scoffers are increasing more and more. This old, old story, the old time worship, old time preaching, the world don't want it. The world's got a better warning today, though, than what the folks in Noah's day had. A giant wrath is going to be soon, sudden. It's going to be sad. You see, in Genesis chapter 7, the Bible says that all flesh died that moved upon the earth. Only Noah, the eighth person that was saved in the ark. Eight souls. The Bible says that there'll be few that find the way. It's going to be a sad, sad time when the giant wrath of God is poured out upon this world. Sad day. We better be getting ready. We better be getting our house in order. We better be telling our loved ones, if you really believe this Bible right here, if you really believe and can see that we're in the days of Noah, that the Lord could come any day, we'd be getting ready. We'd be trying to get our house saved, our household saved. There was plenty of warning in that day. Noah was a preacher of righteousness, the giant warning. They had the Word of God in Noah's preaching. They had the witness in the ark that he built. And they also, I believe, they had a wooing. When Noah preached, God was on his preaching. They had a wooing of the Spirit of God, I believe it, because he said in verse 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. See, Noah preached his heart out. Nobody come. Worked for 120 years on an ark. Give it everything he had. Didn't waste a minute. I believe he preached every chance he got. Looking. And I believe the day that he entered into the ark, he was the last one to enter in. I believe he stood there at the door looking. Looking for somebody to come. For somebody to come. But then God said, come on in, Noah. And God shut the door. God shut the door. Wonder when God's going to shut the door on this world today. Wonder when God's going to shut the door on His grace. And when that door is shut, it's going to be a time of wrath. The party's going to be over. God's wrath's going to be ushered in at that time. You ready? Are you in the ark? Do you know, just like Brother Tim was singing a while ago, blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. I ain't talking about blessed assurance, my name's on the church roll. I'm not talking about blessed assurance, I've been baptized. I'm talking about blessed assurance, I've been born again. By the Spirit of God, as that song says. Born of His Spirit and washed in His blood. That's the ark. That's the only way. I was a lost church member when God saved me. A lost church member. 23 years old. Lost. Been baptized. Had my name in the church minutes. Why, if I'd have died, they'd have said some wonderful words over me. Oh, he was a good boy. He was a church member. A preacher would have probably said, I remember when I baptized him. All that time, I'd have been in hell, burning and screaming, gnashing my teeth, crying out for another chance. Listen, are you in the ark? That's the question I want to leave you with. One man said, though God strives long, He'll not strive always. God shows you you're lost and you want to be saved. You better get to the ark. Get to the ark. No doubt Noah was up there preaching and saying, come, come, come. Brother Tim, Brother Dave, one of y'all give us a song.